21 years of age, the Lord gave me this scripture for myself and something that he was speaking to me at that time. It was on my 21st birthday, actually. That's why I remember it so well. And when we came back to Redditch here, I felt the Lord remind me of this scripture about the church, about Oasis Christian Centre, what he wanted to do, what he wanted the church to be. And over the years, we've shared little bits of these. We've shared the vision with you. You see where we are now today in the ministries that we have and what we're trying to do. And I want to just share very quickly, 30 minutes, of some things in this scripture and why it was written to these guys and why God asked them to do certain things and how that's relevant to us today. So if we look at the background of Isaiah 58, God sends a prophet, Isaiah, to explain to the people of Israel why he's not pleased with them. They are expecting God to move. They are blackmailing God, in a sense, to move, emotional blackmail to God to answer the prayer that they want in the way that they want it. But God does not hear their prayer and would not hear their prayer because there were certain things in their lives, and I'm not bringing a parallel that to any of us in here. I'm just giving you the background, that God could not answer them because of what they were doing, how they were doing, the way they were living their life. And so God sends this prophet Isaiah to these people, and he clearly explains why he's not happy. Not only does he do that, and God always does this, he explains what we must do in order for him to be pleased with us. And so if we pick it up from verse 2 of this chapter, God says, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice and they take delight in approaching God." And as we look at this verse, we think, well, that sounds good. That sounds a good verse. If the Lord wrote that about Oasis Christian Centre, would we be pleased? But the problem was God acknowledged that on the outside, these guys seemed to be good. They looked to be doing the right things. They were religious people. They went to church and they listened to the rabbi bringing teaching. But their heart was not right. On the outside, to the world outside, they were the kind of people that everybody should be. Religious, church-going people. But inside, their hearts were different. It was just a mask. It was just an appearance. And sometimes I wonder, when God looks upon his church in this nation, when he looks down upon the people, and some people might think, well, they're good people. They go to church and they listen to the word of God, and we see them on a Sunday get in their cars and they go to church. And I wonder, in our nation, does God see people on the inside that he's pleased with or he's not pleased with? Sadly for these people, he was not pleased with them. And we're going to see in a minute, they complain to God. They have the affront to demand that God does something in a certain way. And the way they do it is they try to force God's hand by the fact that they say, "God, we fast." Look at the next verse. They say, "We have fasted," they say, "and you have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" And they try to force God's hand to answer them. They do regularly fast, but they fast not as God has asked them. You remember the Pharisee, don't you, that stood up when the sinner had prayed, and the Pharisee stood up and said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like this sinner over here who has sinned so badly, and I tithe and I fast twice a week." And we find that these guys are like this. They have this ostentatious way of fasting and showing everybody that they're fasting. Everybody would know that it's a fast day for them. In a sense, it's these people saying, "God, you know, we've done our part. We've fasted, we've done what the law requires, and But you're not doing your part. You're not doing what we want you to do. And they challenge him, and they thought that God would be under obligation to them to answer their prayer because they've fasted. If we fast long enough, then God has to deliver us. And you can hear it in their demand as they come and demand from God. And the truth is, if we look at fasting, and if you want to listen to that on the internet, we've done a series on fasting and talking about if you feel God's calling you to fast, how you can fast and what guidelines you need to put in place in life. But the bottom line is, when we fast, God is looking at our heart, the reason why we're doing it. We're not doing it just because it sounds like a good thing to do. There are reasons that we fast. Sometimes God asks us to fast for certain things, but it's our heart issue that is the most important. And for these people, the fasting had become an idol. It was an idolatrous situation that they were. It was, in a sense, a form of religion. God always answers in certain ways. Let's look at the next verse. God answers them, but how many know of us in the room that sometimes God doesn't answer in the way we want him to answer? See, the thing is with God, he always tells the truth, but not everybody likes to hear the truth. And it's dangerous if we ask God, show me, reveal to me, teach me your ways, he might just do that. And he might just say something we don't like to hear. And for these people, they didn't like to hear what Jesus had to, what God had to say, but they needed to hear that. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. For them, fast days became a holiday, a religious holiday. It became a time of idleness and pleasure. Next one. Oh, sorry. And exploit all your laborers. The next part of that verse. Some of them even disregarded the most sacred fast days, and they made their servants work all day long. And the servants were supposed to be exempt from working, but they made them work. Others decided that they would settle their accounts, they would post up their books, they would draw their bills ready for the next day for the debt collection agency. If many of you know about Jewish people, they're very good with money and would lend money at high rates to other people, including their own people at times. And on fast days, they would get their bills ready for the next day to go and give that person their bill and collect their debts. Verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. And the nation would have fast days to get God to get their enemies. They wanted to have vengeance on their enemies. They wanted to make war with their enemies. And they believed that if they fasted, that God would give them victory over their enemies. When you look at fasting, fasting is not a manipulative tool to get God to do something. It's not a tool to get him to do something he's not willing to do or he doesn't want to do. You know, if we fast with the wrong motives, we don't eat, it doesn't bother God. It's not going to affect him. He's not going to be worried if we go without food for 1 or 2, 3 days if we don't do it with the right motive. It's not a way of blackmailing God. It doesn't earn us brownie points with God if we fast. If we do it with the right motives, then God will hear from heaven and he will answer. But these guys did not have the right heart. So God answers them in verse 6. Let's have a look at this. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. See, for God, fasting is not acceptable to him if it's not supported by a godly life, a life that has compassion towards those in need. And Phil's done that drama, and you can understand where I'm starting to come from in that drama now. But God wants us. God's wanted those people, his people, to help their own people, to love them, to care for them, to provide for them. And if they did that, then he would be pleased with them. God called them to loose the bands of wickedness. It was for them to untie and get rid of anything that unjustly bound their fellow man. When they saw an injustice, they were to go and to make that right. They weren't to ignore the situation. They weren't to say, like in that song, that's not our ministry. That's not what we do. They were to look at their own people, and where there was injustice, where there were need, they were to try and do something about it. They were to undo the heavy burden, meaning loosing the bands of the yoke. And if you look at the yoke which was borne by the oxen, it normally had attached to it cords and ropes that would steer the oxen. And the yoke in scripture is usually regarded as an emblem of oppression. And so God wanted to release people from oppression. And it was to be applied to all those who were treated with violence in any way. And the yoke refers to every form of political, economic, and social injustice. God was instructing them to set people free from this, to break it, to stop every kind of oppression. God wanted to stop oppressing the poor and help those people in need. His own people, their own people. Yet they would oppress their own people and ignore the people in need. So when they are fasting and saying to everybody, this is a fast day, look at me, I'm fasting. I'm glad I'm not like those people over there. They're ignoring the needs of the people, their own people. Let's look at the next. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. For them, it was to divide what they had, to distribute to those who were hungry, to house the poor, to clothe them, and not walk away from the problem and be ashamed of them, not to withhold their help from them. And, you know, I feel for us today as a church, and especially for Oasis Christian Centre, what our ministry is. It is to help those in need. It is to feed the poor. It is to clothe them. It's not to withhold our hand from those people that are in need. And, you know, we don't have to go very far, do we? We don't have to go very far. So often we can see somebody in need, and, you know, we can walk along the other side of the street. We can walk past that problem, or we can do something. I remember years ago when Joshua was in Birmingham with me, wasn't embarrassing, but he was in Birmingham with me, and we walked past somebody that was begging in the street. And Joshua said to me, Dad, can we do something? And he went and bought, I gave him some money, he went and bought a sausage roll or a sandwich or something just for that guy. And it really touched me that he wanted to do something. And as a church, I believe so much that this is a time in the economic crisis that we find there will be more people in desperate need, there will be more people out of work, where it's an opportunity for the church to be the church in this nation and to be to our own people. Jane has talked about the storehouse, and it's an opportunity for those that are in need of our own people to come alongside and help. And I've not been the best advocate in that in the past of the storehouse, when I've said, you know, buy one, get one free kind of thing. But, you know, when you go shopping, if you have it in your means, you could go and ask God, what should I buy today that I could give to somebody else? Maybe today I won't have what I normally have and have something less so that somebody else can have other things. And I believe the storehouse is just the start of something for Oasis Christian Centre that will help bless the needs of others. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. I'm proud to talk about what we've done. But the need will get more. It will get deeper, more. There'll be more requirements and there'll be more people that we will help. I believe that. And we can be part of that. And I want you to think about how you might help in the poor and the needy, in clothing people and helping people. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. In that drama, it really touched me, you know, and the part where it says, well, when, Lord, did we see you hungry? And when did we see you thirsty? And when did we see you naked? And God looks down and he says, the very people you chose not to help is when you didn't do it. And I think it's important for us to church to understand what God requires of his people today. And I think that this scripture sums up Oasis Christian Centre's ministry. I felt God gave me that at the age of 21, didn't understand what it was, didn't know really what God was saying. In fact, it was Esther's parents that gave me this scripture on my 21st birthday. When we came back to the church, I had this scripture, and some of you that were here then know that we prayed into this scripture then, and some of you had felt God had talked to you about Isaiah 58, and it's a good opportunity for us to remind ourselves. I think as God looks down upon us, if we want to please God, we must treat all people, regardless of who they are, with kindness, love, and compassion. And it is our ministry. I believe with all my heart it's our ministry to keep our hearts right and to look at people, and there should be kindness and love and compassion. This is what God says to the people in verse 8. If they do what he asks, then it's conditional. Your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God promised Israel that if they would do these things, he would restore fellowship with them and he would bless them. God says, if you do what I ask, I will come back amongst you and I will bless you. Friends, when we do what God asks us to do, when we do those things that please him, he will bless us and he will protect us. I love this last line of this verse. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. We won't be looking over our shoulders to see who's after us. God has provided and he will protect us. We will sleep at night, not worrying about what's going to happen. The glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. He will protect us on all sides. And for me, I'm a bit slow sometimes. These scriptures that God gives me, it takes time for me to understand them. But I believe God wants to bless his people. Do you believe that? I believe God wants to be in the midst of his people, and he wants us to know his protection. And my prayer is that Oasis Christian Centre will be a place where people are blessed abundantly because they're doing what God asks. Let's look at the next verse. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. And the people cry out to God, he will answer, and he will say, here I am. I've said for a number of times that it's important that we align ourselves with the word of God, with what God says, haven't I? Is that right? It's most important that it's not what I say, that's not important, but what God says is the most important. But sometimes we say to God, God, if you'll do this for me, if you'll answer my prayer in this way, then I'll do something for you. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? Put your hands up. Just a few of us then. Nobody else prayed that prayer. God, if you'll heal my father or my mother, I'll serve you. God, if you do something and sort out my finances, then I'll start to tithe, God. Then I'll start to do those things if you answer my prayer. But actually, we've got it the wrong way around. When we start to do what God asks us to do, when we're obedient to his word, when God tells us to do something and we do it, then he will bless us. And there's a difference in the kingdom of God. We can't manipulate and control what God will do. Of course, we can ask God to do things, and he does answer because he's a gracious God and he's a loving God. And he wants to answer our prayers. But sometimes we can't say to God, God, if you do this, then I'll do that. And as I was preparing this yesterday, I was just reminded of some of the things I'd said to God that I would do as a child. God reminds you of those things, doesn't he? Certainly did with me. Things that I'd said to God, you know, when you make these reckless things, you know, and say these things, I'll do anything you want, God. I'll go wherever you want. Anybody said that? Just be careful what you say. Maybe today you've made a promise to God and said, God, if you do something, I'll do something for you. And he's answered that prayer, but you haven't honoured that. Maybe you need to think about that too. The truth is that we need to ask for forgiveness when we sin. These people had sinned against God and they didn't ask his forgiveness. God was not pleased. If we ask God to forgive us, if we do what he asks us to do, then I believe that we can expect him to answer us. And he will answer us if our lives are right. He might not always tell us what we want to hear, but he will answer. Let's look at the next verse. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. We are not to condemn. We're not to point the finger at others. We're not to scorn others. We're called to help others, show love and mercy. Next scripture, please. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. I think if we show the love and kindness and mercy as if Jesus was here, as if Jesus was part of our congregation, as Jesus would do that today, then we will experience God's blessing in this place. I believe those that show mercy will be shown mercy, because God is a God of justice. And those that are merciful to others will receive mercy themselves. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Let's look at the next verse. He says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Who wants to be like that? Who would like to be like a well-watered garden where your springs never fail, where you never are tired? You're just so full of God. I believe those that help others out of trouble will in turn obtain help from God when they need it. God says, I will guide you continually. And this is one of the verses, as I've read this, and when I was in Kenya again a few weeks ago, God brought me back to this verse. I believe this is back for Oasis as well. That God will continue to guide us. He will guide us continually. That the Lord will guide us and satisfy our souls in a drought. We do not know what will happen this year in our nation. We know things are getting worse. But for us as a church, God will continue to guide us and he will satisfy us. We'll be like a well-watered garden if we do what God wants us to do. If we live as God wants us to do. It's no coincidence that we call ourselves Oasis Christian Center. An oasis in the desert. A place where people will come and experience the blessing of God. Because Oasis will be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Let's continue to look at the next verse. Those from among you shall build the waste places. You will raise up the foundations of many generations and you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. This city was in despair. It was in a state of disrepair. There was no hope. There'd been no progress for generations. Time and time again, they'd tried to rebuild the place, and there was no growth. There was no sign for these people of anything changing. But from these people came those that would rebuild for generations to come. God was going to change the situation through those same people who had sinned against him, who did not do what pleased him. Once he explained to them what they did, from that same people, he was going to raise generations of people that would have a lasting consequence. And I want to say to us at Oasis Christian Centre, this is something I believe. You may not believe it, but this is what I believe. I hope you will believe it, and I hope you'll believe with me for this. I believe that God wants to build something that will last some time to come from this generation, from this church, from this people that are here now, that you're not here just for a reason, that you're here to help God's kingdom be established. And from here, he will build something that will be lasting, of lasting consequences for future generations. Some of you quiet. I believe God will want to do it from here, from people within us, because he has talked to us so much about how he wants us to live. He's encouraging us. He's teaching us through his word. And he will look to a people that are obedient to him. And from within these generations will raise something that will happen, something that will last for generations to come. Is that worth an amen again? Thank you, Graham. Why not here? Why not now? And coming to church on a Sunday is not just about coming together. It's coming together for a reason. To hear his word and to do something about it. The problem with the Jewish people at those times is they'd go and hear the teachings of the rabbi. They'd ask God what he wants them to do. But what they wouldn't do is what he asked them to do. They inquired of the Lord, what should I do? But when he responded, they wouldn't do it. And you know, when we preach the messages, when Angie and I preach messages and hear, the most important thing is how we apply the word of God to our lives. If we do not apply the word of God to our lives, then it's a waste of time. We have to do with something with what we've heard. Okay, we've nearly finished. Let's move on. If you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honourable, and shall honour him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. And for these Jewish people, great importance was, it was a great importance for them to be found on the Sabbath in the synagogue. They were captives in Babylon. And by keeping that day, by honouring that day, what they were saying to all the other nations around them that worshipped other gods is, we serve the living God and we honour that day. We set it aside to worship God. And for us, as it was for them, this is a day that we should consecrate for doing God's will, for coming to worship him, to set aside the day. We should honour the day. Unfortunately, in our world today, Sunday is just another day. It's like a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. It doesn't make any difference for many people what a Sunday is. But for us, it's important that we honour the day. Is that we set the day aside where we bring honour to God and we choose to do things that please him. And he will be pleased that we are found in his house. You know, when you study Jesus, where did he go on the Sabbath? He was found in the house of God. And that's not a word of condemnation to any of us, you know. But I believe that if God will want, I do believe God wants to bless us, but if we want to receive God's blessing, we have to honour the day and set aside a time to honour him and not make it just like another day. And how many of us at times, if we're honest, can slip into just making it another day? We've finished church now and we'll just go and do whatever. I think it has to be a day for us where we come back and say, God, this is your day and I'm going to honour your day. And by honouring your day, I'm honouring you. This is a personal belief. You don't have to agree with me. This is personally what I believe, that we must make it a priority once again if we don't. Let's come to the end of the chapter. It's two more verses. There's this one and the final one. So this is the penultimate one, if I get it right. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The heritage of Jacob was Canaan. If you study Canaan, Canaan is a type of heaven. Those that honour God and his Sabbath, he will honour. And for us, we have a heritage. The heritage that we have, the promise that we have, of course, is heaven. That God has got a land for us, a place for us that we're going to live for eternity in. But it also means today, if we honour him, if we honour his day, if we do what he asks, then there are blessings for us today. And our heritage is the here and now. God will honour those who honour him here and now. And I think for Oasis Christian Centre, we must honour God, honour his day, and do what he asks. And he will honour us. Who wants God to honour us? I want him to. Which side do you want to be on in this drama? The left? Sorry, if you're on the left. Or the right? I know what I want him to say to me. I know the words I want to hear. We've finished. Last verse. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. We can take God's word for it. He cannot lie, nor will he deceive us. What his mouth has spoken, his hand will provide. When God says he will do it, he will do it. And you know, God has said things he wants to do over Oasis Christian Centre, and he'll do it. He'll do it with you and me, or he'll do it with others if we're not prepared. But he will do it. We want God to be pleased with us, don't we? Isn't that true? Talk back to me now. We do. We want God to be pleased with us. It's a bit like, you know, when you're a child and you want mum and dad to be pleased with you with what you do. We want God to be pleased with us. We don't want to look good on the outside and on the inside things aren't right. We don't want to be religious about stuff. We don't want to just be seen to be going to church. We want God to look down upon us and to be pleased with us. And I think God wants us to honour this day and put this day aside so that we can see him do great things amongst us and bless many people. I pray today that this is a word of encouragement to you. In April, we'll have been here, Esther and I, Lydia and Josh will have been here 10 years, and it's gone really, really quick. So quick, April the 9th. And when I look and see what God has done amongst us, it's great. We look round and we say, God, thank you so much for what you've done. But if we want to see everything that God has fulfilled for us, then we need to make sure that our hearts are right. I just want to encourage you today. If there's something in there that you know perhaps you need to think about, to do something about it, let's just pray together. Father, I thank you that each of us here today are found here in your house. And that's great. We've come, Lord, because we love to be here. We didn't come dragging, being dragged, screaming and shouting. But Lord, we wanted to be here because we wanted to be with you and with our brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that in our hearts there'll be no religion found, no religious spirit. but a heart that wants to please you, to seek your face, to hear your voice, and to do what you ask. And Lord, we want your blessing. Lord, we want you to bless every person in here. I want you to bless this church with all that we need. So Lord, I just ask that as we continue to serve you here, you will look down upon your people and be pleased with us. And as we honour you and honour your day, that Lord, you will honour us too. And Lord, one day when we stand in front of you, we'll be on the right side, not the wrong side. So thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. We ask you, Lord, to bless our ministries to the poor and the needy. We pray, Lord, that the storehouse will go to another level. We pray, Lord, for the feeding that we do on our Thursday, that will continue to go from strength to strength, and that, Lord, you'll continue to provide all that we need. Lord, whatever you said will happen, and so we believe it. So, Lord, we take this opportunity to thank you and to recommit our whole life to you and all that we do, and say, Lord, we just want to bless you and serve you and honour you. So, Lord, look down upon us, and we pray you'll be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.